What do you make of the latest, ordeal?
Well, they're calling him the liar from the Shire.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had his critics and he's dropped the ball occasionally.
Mm.
Okay, I'll ask you, where does he rank on the list of Australian Prime Ministers?
Where does he rank? Johnny Howard, big fan.
Yeah.
Bobby Hawke, fan. I thought Paul Keating, he was strong as well. Mm. Where would you have our leaders in comparison to the global
to the
leaders?
World.
Who gets your attention? Did Barack Obama get you?
Yeah,
you a Trump man?
Was, I'll tell you who I'm a fan of.
Who?
Boris Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the way he handled Brexit
yep.
was very well.
Yep.
I thought the way he handled the pandemic
yes.
was very well.
Yep.
I mean, he's much maligned. A lot of people, you know, take the mickey out of him.
Shouldn't be maligned.
But I think deep down,
yeah.
all the English
yeah.
should be lucky they've got a prime minister like BJ.
Totally agree. Speaking of that, we have got a man who, well, if he's not the number one Englishman behind Boris, he's certainly up there. I'm talking about the great man Simon Hill from the Global Game here at SEN. You can also hear his dulcet tones on, well, Channel 10. He is the head football commentator on Channel 10. And I'm pleased to say, as I welcome in the great man Simon Hill, that our man Simon Hill, we're going to play Simon Says. So we have got 5 double tickets to go to the Central Coast Mariners and their game with the Phoenix. So that's on Saturday night. We have got 5 double passes. Now, the first 5 people to text through the magical word, which is going to be a fictitious character, which Simon says somehow in our cross this afternoon. So you'll stand out like dogs, you know what's, when he slips it in, a fictional character.
Okay.
But I'm pleased to say the great man, the number one behind Boris Johnson, the BJ, is on the phone now. Simon, good afternoon.
Afternoon, boys. Can I just start by saying, Fletch, you talk a lot of sense about a lot of things, but what you just said is the biggest load of baloney I've ever heard on Boris Johnson. Seriously, mate, you may as well put Harry Potter in charge of the UK in terms of the Parliament.
He is
an absolute joke.
Oh, you're not a fan?
No.
Oh,
he's useless.
He's a gun. Have a listen. No, Simon, have a listen to this. Tell me this bloke here, should, let alone running Great Britain, he should be running the world, this bloke.
Yes, he should be. The country of the world.
Absolutely. Have a listen to this.
So with safer streets, with great local schools, with fantastic broadband... forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. People will have the confidence to stay nearer the place they grew up, to start business, and business will have the confidence to invest. And then, of course, there is one thing that business wants and that this country needs, far more than 100 supersonic rail links, far more than broadband, and that is skills. And the people that you all need to staff your business. And it's an astonishing fact that the 16 to 18 year olds in this country are getting 40%.
What was wrong with that, Simon? What was wrong with that?
Yeah, well, you know, he's one of the great orators, isn't he? The same as Winston Churchill. I mean, goodness me. The guy can't even string 2 sentences together. And his handling of Brexit, well, the fact that he took us into Brexit in the first place. Anyway, I think we're here to talk about sport.
We are, yeah.
But I am not a fan.
Okay.
But by, Simon, a lot of, I don't think our listeners are either, because they are calling in with the Simon Says answer as Boris, as the fictional character.
That's irate.
Yes. Okay, what's happening in the round ball? How's things going so far? We've started the A-League. Who's impressed? Who hasn't you?
Well, I was impressed with the Sydney Derby last week. It was a great atmosphere. The game could have done with a goal, but it was intense. And I think both sides should have a pretty good season. Bad news today for Sydney FC. There's a talk that Luke Bratton could be out for the season with a torn ACL. So that's a blow for them ahead of their game against MacArthur this weekend, and indeed for the rest of the season. Melbourne City, of course, impressed. They're the pre-season favourites for most people, myself included. They were very good for an hour and then almost threw it away against Brisbane. And I was also impressed by the F3 Derby, to be honest. Central Coast Mariners, again, written off by most people, including me. And they went and got a 2-win win in Newcastle. They were lucky to hang on in the end. Jets pushed them hard. So, yeah, all in all, it was a pretty good first round, I think.
You called the FFA Cup last night. It was Perth Glory taking on Victory. How'd that play out?
It was a long night, yeah. We had 90 minutes and then a half an hour of extra time. We went all the way to penalties. Poor old Daniel McBreen, who was my co-commentator, who lives up in Newcastle, was throwing his headphones on the table saying, I'm not going to get home before midnight. And I think he was taking a training session at 7 o'clock this morning. So, it was an interesting game because Perth Glory, this game has been postponed for quite some time because of the pandemic and what's going on in WA. So Perth, who play a game tomorrow night in the A-League against Western United, basically had to send a team of kids, their junior team, to play this tie. And they actually did really well. Some very promising young talents, particularly Joseph Ford and the guy who scored the goal, Josh Anasmo, Giordano Colli in midfield. I thought they were very, very good. Victory much more experienced and probably should have won the game much more comfortably than they did in the end on penalties. But, that's the beauty of the FFA Cup, and that's why we love it.
Now, Simon, I can hear it in your voice. You are quite chuffed, as the English say. United, they're in all sorts. Obviously, Ollie gone, and City 2-1 winners over PSG. Can I ask you first about the City win? How did Messi, first of all, did he play?
Yeah, Messi played, but we were without three big players, Foden, Grealish and De Bruyne. Kevin De Bruyne's got COVID at the moment, so he couldn't play. And City had to come from behind, but a terrific win. It means that they win the group, go through to the next phase as the top-seeded team. Hopefully this is going to be the year when we finally get the monkey off the back and win all big ears, as they call the trophy.
And what about Messi? Because he started off pretty average. Is his form improved?
Well, it's been difficult for him because I don't think he really wanted to leave Barcelona. And his form has been a little bit up and down. But the French league, with the greatest respect, it doesn't have the greatest depth. Certainly not as strong as the Premier League. So I still think he'll have a good campaign. He'll probably win trophies with PSG. Whether they're going to win the Champions League, which of course is the one that they want as well, is a different matter. And he's playing alongside some terrific players, Neymar, Kylian Mbappe, etc. They're a terrific side, but fortunately, not good enough to beat my boys this morning.
Simon, I have just worked this out after all this time. Your Twitter handle, at SimonHill1894, of course, that's when Manchester City came into the competition. Is that
there
right?
There you go.
Yeah.
I've had a few people say to me, was that when you were born?
Hey, Simon, I want to take you back to memory lane and how well you recall this story. I've just picked up a podcast, and this is Sugar's Potty Push. British Scandal, the Sex Pistols. How much do you remember of just catching up on the story? Yeah. Now, I knew nothing about it. It's fascinating.
Yes, Sid Vicious and Nancy Spurgeon was the big stories, wasn't it, in the 70s. Sid Vicious was part of the Sex Pistols, along with Johnny Rotten, who's still going and has become rather gentrified in his old age. But they were the big punk band in the mid-70s that emerged on the scene and really led that sort of genre. And then Sid Vicious, who was horribly into drugs, and his girlfriend Nancy Spurgeon. I think they both ended up dead well before their time, which is tragic. But I was only a kid when that came about, but I do remember it. I remember people walking down the streets where I lived, with the safety pins through their noses and the punk trousers and all that sort of stuff, the mohawk. It only lasted a couple of years.
Yeah.
But it was pretty intense.
I'll tell you what happened. Malcolm, their manager, and it's not a spoiler alert because it's happened so long ago, but Malcolm McLaren, yeah. So he found Nancy to be such a bad influence on Sid. And of course, his ticket, Malcolm, is this band staying together because they were such a big hit. Mm. But Nancy being around Sid Vicious, things were just falling apart. So he literally kidnapped her. He kidnapped her and tried to get her out of the country away from Sid, which never happened. And then it all turns on Malcolm. And they're a massive name, Sex Pistols,
What's the potty called?
Yeah. British Scandal. So is a series of different British events, but Series 7 is about Sex Pistols. Okay. We
play one of our songs with my band, by the way.
Do you?
The Queen, one of our iconic anthems, yeah.
Which it was a little facetious towards the Queen, wasn't it? I think they're...
yeah, it's just a little.
They actually did it on a day that was very much... celebrating the Queen, they hired this bus and just took the P-O-5 police. Anyway, you got to hear the podcast, but it's fascinating. What else is making news, Simon, in your world?
What else is making news? Well, I can tell you what's on the global game tonight. We got a chat with Josh Nisbet, who scored his first goal in the A-League men's competition at the weekend in that F3 derby that I was talking about. We'll also be talking to Daniel Georgescu, who's in the seat with me tonight. Alex Brosk is... get this, week two of the season, he's already on the treatment table. He's out, off on a golf week, if you don't mind. I mean, please, you know. I don't know whether he's going to last the season. So Daniel Georgescu is in. We're talking to Michael Theo in our Greatest Game series, and we've got all the usuals. Spencer Pryor going to be talking Premier League and the fallout from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's sacking or departure from Manchester United. Michelle Escobar talking about the Matildas. They've got a big game, of course, this weekend against the Americans, first in the two-game series. And Paul Williams will be along to review the Asian Champions League final as well. So a busy show at 8 o'clock Eastern tonight.
Hey, Simon, how's Josh Cavallo going?
He's going all right.
Is he going all right? Because we were suggesting that he was going to have the year of his life.
Yeah, relief.
First footballer in the world to come out.
To be honest. Yeah, well, he's not the first, but he's currently the only one
is he?
Senior player in a men's professional competition that is gay or has come out as gay around the world. So, yeah, he played for Adelaide last week in Perth. I don't think he had any adverse reaction. To be honest, I didn't expect much in Australia. I think he spent quite a bit of time after the game having selfies and signing autographs with kids around the stadium. He's had a really good reaction. And to be honest, having spoken to Josh since, which we did on the Global Game a couple of weeks ago, he said his only regret is that he didn't do it sooner and why he kept it quiet for so long. But I guess, you know, that's easy to say with hindsight, but I'm pleased he's had a good reaction. He's a lovely kid and he's actually a very good footballer as well. He had a great season last year.
Is there potential that he could play for higher honours?
It's possible. It's still early days with Josh. He's, you know, still at the outset of his career, really. He's fairly young. He's a left fullback. He's got the right build for that position. He's, he's quite small. He's skinny, but he gets up and down the line to good effect. He's got a good engine. He's got a good touch. He can cross the ball. I'm not saying he's going to go and play for, you know, Real Madrid or Liverpool or Man United or whatever, but I think he's got potential, but obviously it's up to him. Last year really was his first big breakthrough season. He struggled to make it at both Melbourne City and Western United, but he got a regular slot last year with Adelaide. So, hopefully, you know, he can kick on and use this newfound fame to his benefit.
I think it's fantastic, and I hope we see more of this. It just takes a lot of pressure off the young ones coming through, and it's play on. It's an absolute no issue. So well done to Josh. As for you, Simon, by gee, you've got a busy week. For 10 this week alone, you've got Friday, Western United taking on Perth Glory. Sunday, you've got Melbourne Victory versus Brisbane Roar. But the big one Saturday night, you're calling this with Andy Harper. Yeah. Adelaide United versus Melbourne City. The coverage starts at 7 p.m. That's daylight savings time on Channel 10. Of course, the global game tonight, as you mentioned, at 8 p.m. So, mate, it's a busy weekend coming up for you.
You are not wrong. And then the Matildas on Tuesday night. So, I've got a bit of work to do, boys. It's a busy old start for the season, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
No, and as long as Boris keeps working like Harry Potter, as you mentioned, and the board lit up, we appreciate that. Simon says, I think that works. Simon, well done. Have a great call or calls over the week, and we look forward to speaking next time.
Cheers, boys. All the best.